Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 30% off your new account for 3 months, go to Squarespace.com and use offer code Android3. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/android.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 52, recorded on Monday, March 19th, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
Oh, Ron, you're away.
You're a virtual Ron Richards.
Virtual Ron today.
Virtual, yes. I'm back in New York, so I'm Skyping in this week. Sorry.
All right.
Oh, you can't take time off from this show, so we're just happy.
I just can't escape it. I can't escape the Android. It follows me everywhere I go.
It really does. Hey, this week we're going to be discussing pimps and scams. New source codes. But
what else is new? I mean, really? Pimps on the show.
Rumors. And our guest is the awesome Phil Nickenson, editor of Android Central. Hello.
You're not going to be talking about me, are you?
What? Oh, welcome back. It's been a while.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you back on. You also do the Android Central podcast as well. Fantastic podcast over there at your site.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming back on. We're stoked to have you back.
Absolutely.
I don't even know where to begin. You know, this week has been kind of soft on news, at least for today. So we're going to start with a doozy. Hey, Chad, bring us into the news. So there is a pimp out there, and his name is Dante Dears. This just cracks me up. Okay, the point of this whole story, I will preface, is that it is Android-related, and it has to do with pattern locks on your phone. There is a detailed story of this pimp whose group is called Pimpin' Hoes Daily, PhD. And he's got this lengthy arrest history. I won't even get into that. If you really want to read it, just check out the Ars Technica article. But what was interesting is that, you know, they did a sting operation on him recently, and the FBI had requested his phone. He had lied and said, I don't have a phone. Then he said, oh, it's my sister's phone. And during the sting, they witnessed him using his Samsung Android phone for 6 hours straight, and they wanted that information. He's texting, you know, all day, or at least for those heavily for that 6 hours. So they detained him. They wanted the device, and then there's a pattern lock. And he said, the pimp, Dears, said he had signed a waiver to his Fourth Amendment rights, search rights, and so he wasn't going to give up that information. So the FBI takes it to their regional computer forensics lab and cannot crack it, and locked it because they tried so many times, and at some point, you know, lock the phone. And they, you know, have the warrant now. He still says, no, I'm not going to give you the information. And this is a list of things that they want. They want the subscriber's name, social security number, all email, personal information, times and duration of every web page visited, all text messages, email addresses, yada, yada, yada. So now they still have that phone, cannot crack it, but they have asked Google for some help. So the moral of the story is, you should probably have that pattern lock.
Right? Pattern lock seems to be pretty darn secure. At least he wasn't using the face unlock feature.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what phone he had. They don't tell you what kind of phone. It's just a Samsung Android phone. Maybe, you know, maybe it's my phone. Maybe it's your phone.
Yeah, it's possible.
That pattern lock seems to stump people when they see that. When they're not used to it, so many people are used to like the number code on iPhones, whatever. Mm-hmm. When people see me do that pattern, they're just like, what is that? It like gets a lot of interest. So.
Well, and John Dvorak has said, just look at the phone surface. If they haven't wiped it off,
and then see grease
spots, you know, I don't know if that's really true. If you can really detect, you know, someone's pattern on that or not. And I tried
wipe down my phone
as much as possible. Wipe it down. I just thought this was, you know, I first of all thought it was crazy that they couldn't unlock it.
But it's been a while since I've used Pattern Unlocked. I definitely used that when I first, like way back when, got my first Motorola Droid. And I used the Pattern Unlock because it was kind of the cool thing. And you hadn't really seen it before. And I used that for a while. But I can't remember, after you unsuccessfully do a Pattern Unlock multiple times, how are you locked out? Like, What happens?
It's a time-based thing. Like, so the first time it locks you out for like 30 seconds or something like that, and the more times you get it wrong, the longer the time frame before you can unlock it again happens.
And there is no, is there any kind of cliff that at a certain point it drops off and you have to go through another measure to actually get into it?
I haven't pushed it. The only, so David Prager from Revision 3 was trying to hack into my phone a while back. And I remember being stuck there for about 5 minutes, not being able to get into my phone. So
That was the
longest that I went. So,
well, Google has provided a statement. Are we looking at this is your pattern lock. If you're watching the video. There's a pattern law. Google's statement is, like all law-abiding companies, we comply with valid legal process. Whenever we receive a request, we make sure it meets both the letter and spirit of the law before complying. If we believe a request is overly broad, we will seek to narrow it. So that's kind of the end of the story at this point.
It really needs to bring into question what's going on with the forensic scientists at the FBI, that they're stymied by this.
I know, right? That's the part that I'm like, wow, if they can't figure it out. What? Do you trust them?
It was really that easy? Or, you know, who knows? And who knows? Maybe he had, maybe the pimp had some special software with added security on there as well. Who knows?
Techno pimp.
No, all the FBI had to do was go to XDA and this would be over in like 5 minutes.
Thank you, right? So
all they had to do
was
do a Google search
with
XDA and the query.
Okay. Anyways, that's exactly it. It stumps me that they couldn't figure it out. And all right. Well,
and Google might still help them out because they're still.
But the good news there is that's the way this is supposed to work.
Yeah, right.
You're supposed to lock your phone to keep your stuff safe. The FBI shouldn't be able to just hack into it, right? That they had to go and get a warrant. It's a good thing. That's
it
the
is
system
all good,
working the way it's supposed to.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to go lock my phone right now.
Yes. Please. I know. I feel like I got to do that right now, too.
Well, in other news, Samsung, LG, and Pantech, among other mobile operators in Korea, have been fined a total of 45.3 billion won, that's $40.1 million, in Korean court. The FTC there says the companies colluded to inflate cell phone prices and then advertised significant incentives signaling to consumers that they were getting a bargain for new phones, which kind of has me asking, like, doesn't that sound familiar? Like, isn't that kind of how it's done here? I mean, and maybe the collusion isn't necessarily
right.
there. Maybe it is. Maybe we just don't know that. But that seems to kind of be what we've kind of been led, you know, trained to believe as far as buying phones, at least in the U.S.
Well, clearly the Korean FTC is a little tighter on that than the American FTC in terms of what they'll allow for collusion.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, so, I mean, and unfortunately, I don't think international law is precedent. So, like, I don't think we'll see this happen here. But fascinating that they got busted. You never, you know, like, those collusion accusations normally come from, like, competitors to try to hurt the other folks. But, like, fascinating to see so many companies. I mean, like, big companies, like, you know, over in Korea, Pantech and Samsung, that's huge. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, Ron, you take the next one.
Yes. So last week there were some rumors of the Google Nexus tablet, and according to GigaOm.com and their mobile section of Mobilize, it is a quote-unquote done deal. The 249 Asus MIMO tablet that was shown at CES this past January is expected to be the first Google Nexus tablet with the lower price, somewhere around $149 to $199. And a supply chain employee confirmed this development with the Android Me site. That had previously suggested a 7-inch Google Nexus tablet would launch this year. And apparently the way they're bringing the price down is they're opting for a dual core chip instead of the quad core Tegra 3. And it looks like there's a lot of details starting to come out that actually make this might be a real thing happening. And it's interesting to see there's some dissenting opinions, aren't there?
Yeah, Phil, you wrote up a really good piece over the weekend. I just kind of wanted to get your take on this as far as kind of what we've seen. This really is the news of the day in the Android world, at least for the last couple of weeks, keeps rising from the dead and saying, no, there is a Google Nexus tablet. But you are of the opinion that a Google Nexus tablet doesn't necessarily need to be, right?
Well, I mean, we've gone back and forth, and this is a rumor that's gone around since, like, November, if not sooner, of last year. and it's gone back and forth. So my question is, what good does a Nexus tablet do at this point? Mm-hmm. Even if it's a $150 7-inch tablet, what does that do that the Kindle Fire hasn't done? Do we really need just another tablet that's got a bunch of little apps and buttons on it? I think people are thinking too small here. I don't give too much credit to these rumors. And I really hate to do air quotes on rumors because they're real rumors. I think everybody's missing the point. I mean, just another tablet is not going to help the ecosystem. It's not going to help Google. It's just going to be one more piece of noise in that ecosystem. What I think we're going to see, and what I think Google Play is the beginning of, is a pretty significant shift in the way that Google and Android does media. Not just entertainment, not just music, not just apps, but media in general. And I think they're really going to start pulling it around to more of what Microsoft has done with Zune. And granted, Microsoft has tripped all over itself. And
I was going to say, yeah, because Zune was such a success.
Not just the Zune player itself, but Zune as a media ecosystem, which actually I think is really good. In fact, I still use a Zune HD when I travel. Mm-hmm. But everybody gets focused on the pricing and how many cores it's going to have. And how, you know, at the end of the day, you're talking hardware. And hardware is easy, right? It comes down to numbers and what's feasible. I really, really think we're going to see something different coming out of all this. I think we're going to see it probably, you know, I.O. makes sense. Google mm-hmm. I.O. developer conferences in the end of June this year. They moved it back. I think we're going to see something having to do with WidEye. I think we're all going to get a big WidEye lesson here at some point. I really need to start reading up on it too. Wi-Fi Direct, so it's mm-hmm. it's a different form of communications than Bluetooth, or you know, it allows two Wi-Fi capable devices to talk to each other without a router in between. Basically,
would that clash at all with kind of their NFC kind of initiative? It kind of sounds like they might do kind of somewhat similar things.
No, NFC is much much closer range. I mean, NFC, you're talking a matter of, you know,
okay.
Instead of, you know, two devices in the same room. I really think we're going to get it's not going to be about the hardware at the end of the day. They're going to be like, here's this device we have that does this.
That goes cloud. Does. Cloud, do you think in the same way the Chromebook, you know, cloud this, cloud that, mm-hmm. do you think this is where maybe it might go?
Yeah, it's going to be maybe not in terms of an OS. Google mm-hmm. already has the OS. They already have Android. And that's the other thing people have a tendency to forget is that Android is it's an embedded operating system. It's not unlike Windows Mobile was back in the day. Or more to the point, I totally forgot the name of it. Is it Windows Mobile ME? I forget. The embedded version of Windows Mobile. Can't believe I forgot that. That's how I started this business. but Android is the same way. So it's
Windows CE in the chat room.
Yes, thank you. So it's very easy to lump it all in one group, mm-hmm. but they can do very, very different things. So I think we're going to end up with some sort of tablet-like device, you know, tablet-like device. It's a tablet that it runs Android, but it does a lot more. I don't know if they'll have a dock or if there will be a separate sort of Logitech review type, you know, system that you plug into your TV. I'm really looking forward to it. I think Google TV was ahead of its time. Still think it's an excellent idea, but the hardware just wasn't there. Mm-hmm. The monetization wasn't there, and Logitech has said that. But focusing on how much it's going to cost and how many cores it has is really missing the entire point here.
Yeah,
it's missing the point.
And I agree with you, Phil, in that regard. And that, like, worrying about like what the hardware is going to be and what is going to be from Asus and all this stuff, I think is true. But I do slightly disagree in terms of the branding aspect and is it going to be a Nexus tablet and do we need another tablet and that sort of thing. And I really think that Google, the best way for Google and an Android tablet to become a force in the marketplace is to build a brand recognition similar to the iPad or the Kindle Fire or whatever, because there's so much noise in that channel. I think because of that noise, they have to do something like this. And hopefully, while they've tried to do that with the phones, I don't know if the common consumer knows that the Nexus, Samsung Galaxy Prime, whatever it's called, I don't know if everyone knows that is the true, you know, Android Google phone. But if they've learned from that past marketing stuff and they make the minted, blessed Google tablet, I think that plays into the Google Play, you know, kind of evolution and helps to try to give an Android tablet a leg up over the noise that they've created in the channel already.
No, so, I agree. I just don't think it's going to be called Nexus.
Oh, you just okay.
Ah, it should be something
not Google
different.
Nexus tablet. You're gonna okay.
When I say there is no Google Nexus tablet, I mean it does not exist. Nobody has announced one.
Sure.
Therefore, it is not here. But no, it'll have a name. It'll have some sort of unifying name within the ecosystem. It might not be Nexus. I really think we might be at the end of the Nexus line.
Well, and I mean, one thing, along the Nexus line has historically, at least to this point on the phones, has been Google's kind of input into the hardware design. And if we were to believe this kind of done deal rumor that we talked about at the beginning of this little piece, where it's that Asus, or sorry, where did it go?
Yeah, it was Asus.
It was the Asus device already, and then that Google's coming in and then making that a Nexus. That seemed weird to me.
And here's the funny thing about that tablet. They showed it off at CES. And
right.
Were any of you guys in that conference, in that press conference?
I actually went to the booth, I went to the NVIDIA booth and saw that tablet.
Oh, did they have it there?
Yeah, I thought they'd, yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure they'd, yeah, it was, but it was in, it was in glass.
They might have had it buried, yeah. So yeah. They showed it off there on stage and then immediately took it away. Like, the guys I know in the video, they're like, we couldn't even see it. It did. You're right. So you're showing the picture of it there. Mm. Well, he held it up. He said, here it is. It's $199. And that's the last anybody saw of it all week.
Yeah, I didn't even get to touch it.
That's not unusual with NVIDIA things. We see, we got to play with a Toshiba 7-inch prototype at MWC that, it was kind of buried back in there. So these things happen, but it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. That here's this brand new thing, $200, and you're really going to want it, but then it disappeared. But remember, that was a quad-core tablet. That's not a dual-core supposedly talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. The thing that they were doing was looping video on that tablet, and it was definitely stuck and encased. Well, maybe it wasn't encased.
Oh, I broke one at MWC, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose we will see in that wonderful timetable that is sometime this year. So, soon.
Soon. Love that word.
Real quick before we get to the first email, Linux kernel 3.3 is available, and it's packing the long-awaited merged code from Android. Linux users can soon expect to be able to hopefully boot into Android, run apps on the stock Linux kernel. That actually isn't part of 3.3. That should appear, at least should start to appear in version 3.4. So it's kind of a cool development. I love kind of following this kind of merging, blurring of the lines between Android and the Linux OS. So
it makes my neck beard just grow as you talk about it.
You itchy there, Phil?
I can see it. Whoa. That's weird. I'm going to keep talking about it. See how long this can go. All right, Eileen, take the first email.
We got an email here from our buddy TechAce01 in the chat room. Hey, AAA, Antonio here. I got a question for ya. In your opinion, what are the best non-cloud-based music players? My main player no longer functions. It kills the Bluetooth connection, and Google Music acts crazy around Wi-Fi hotspots. Around Wi-Fi, got spots, and haven't set up yet. I use my phone 80% of the time listening to music, so this is a big issue for me.
Yeah, I mean, so I thought we might all have at least an opinion on a music player that isn't cloud-based. Very recently, a couple of weeks ago, PowerAmp, which I would say is probably one of the most popular.
Stole mine. Yeah.
Well, because it's one of the big daddies as far as music players apps are concerned. It's a little pricey. I want to say it's like $5.99 or $6.99 for an app. But I got it. They were having a deal because they reached some sort of a milestone.
Oh, congrats.
And so it was like $1.99. It was really inexpensive. So I went ahead and got it. And I mean, it's a good full featured, music player.
It's $4.99 in the Google Play market. I got to start saying that more often.
Yeah.
But it's solid. I mean, it is really PowerAmp is a good name for it because it is full function music player. I love the EQ and here you're showing that the bass and the treble and all that sort of stuff. You get a lot of good controls. I was really impressed by it, but I'm just so married to Google Music that's all I use.
Yeah, so am I. I mean, as long as Google Music is the only music app that you can use to tap into the Google Music kind of cloud ability, then that's just the player that I use.
Did he say in his email what music player he didn't use anymore?
No, this was the email.
Tech Ace, what do you use?
But yeah, PowerAmp is good, and I know that like Winamp has a good
Winamp is pretty good.
Good
yeah.
player. I haven't used that so much though because I don't have a PC at home, so it seems like Winamp works
but they have
better
Winamp
with
for Mac now.
Yeah, they do.
Well, Winamp's a good brand. So. Mm-hmm.
I still use DoubleTwist, so I always have, mm-hmm. And I just like their lock screen. And they've added a few more options recently.
Sure.
That y'all didn't vote for several weeks ago in the arena. But anyway.
Just saying.
Just saying. So hopefully that helps.
Phil, any others that we left off that like other music players that you've liked?
No, that's a really good list. I'm using Google Music. Play Music. Most of the day, see, I'm in the same boat. I gotta make myself.
Oh, I still say that. Play Music now.
I have not. Yeah. I have not changed my habit there.
Yeah, I'll say Google Music till the day I die.
You'll also say Nexus Prime till the day you die.
I know.
Nexus Prime. Yeah, exactly. I cannot. I still don't even know what the name of that phone is. So.
Yeah, right, the URL is play.google. Okay, yeah. Google Play.
Yeah, it's Play Music. The app is called Play Music. So interesting.
I'm never
that's
get
a, that's
right.
a hard one to get used to. Let's take a very quick break and thank our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high quality website or blog. I love Squarespace. I have a website there. It's jasonhowell.net if you want to check it out. But the really cool thing about Squarespace that I've enjoyed is that I've realized over the years I'm not very good at updating my blog. I've really fallen off that horse of updating the blog. But you can do so much with your front page with these widgets and modules that tie into your social kind of in your social accounts like Twitter and Facebook and stuff, so that you can integrate that content in. So if what you're using most these days, as is the case with me, is like, you know, Twitter updates, you can have that kind of refreshing to your page. You can do really creative stuff. If you go to sarahlane.com, Sarah's Twitter page or blog site is a perfect example of how creative you can get with bringing in those social widgets and making your page alive, even if you aren't going in to Squarespace and specifically kind of modifying the blog and having to do kind of the heavy lifting involved there. Squarespace makes all of this extremely easy to do and useful. They have tons of templates that are great in and of themselves, as well as just to be a starting point so you aren't starting from square one when you're creating your page. And just a whole host of features, more than I could even list right now. But I encourage you to check them out, squarespace.com. If you go there and you want to try this out, you can get a free trial, squarespace.com, and sign up for a free account. That means no credit card needed. You can just try it out and start building your website right away. And if you decide to purchase it, you can use the offer code Android3 and you'll get 30% off for 3 months. That's squarespace.com. Use offer code Android3 and start building a web page. It doesn't even have to be a blog. You don't necessarily have to, you know, put blog content into it. There's so many other modules that you can do to build a dynamic website, landing page for yourself, and keep it updated with minimal time and hassle. So check it out, squarespace.com. Android3 is the promo code. Love you, Squarespace. All right, let's get into our hardware. And there's a lot.
Yeah, I know. It starts with me. I was actually trying to update my Squarespace blog by showing you guys something, but Chrome crashed on me here, so it's not Squarespace's fault.
I got a Chrome crash.
I know.
Earlier,
I was like furiously typing, and you were like ending. I'm like, no. I'll just show you guys that thing later. But hardware. So, Samsung Galaxy S2 with Android 4.0 hands-on. At the end of last week's episode, we talked about how the SGS2 is going to get the Android 4.0 update, at least the international versions. Poland, I can't remember, Korea, not my phone. My phone is German. No. I hit update many times and have not gotten the ICS update.
Right, because you don't have the U.S., any of the U.S. versions of the Galaxy S2. You got yours unlocked from overseas, right?
Yes. And this one is German. So, mm-hmm. But the international phones are the ones that were rolling out last week, and mine wasn't one of them. So, Chad, if we look at the video of the update, it looks pretty
similar.
Wow,
that looks like ice cream sandwich. Wait a minute.
No, it doesn't.
Whoa. That actually looks like TouchWiz.
Yeah, it looks like TouchWiz. There's a few things here that the article here, now, I don't have it on my phone, but let's see here. Aaron Soperis of The Verge was kind of disappointed in. He just says not much has changed. It's got the multitasking menu, new lock screen, and it just looks really similar to Android 2.3 TouchWiz. He says widgets cannot be resized, and there's no unified app and widget drawer and barely a hint of Roboto. What do you guys think?
It's disappointing, and it confirms kind of what I expected. I mean, I really didn't expect for the OEMs that have for the manufacturers that are building their own custom UIs on top of Android, it would be I understand them not going in a different direction and going more towards ice cream sandwich from the sense that if your mom or pop have an Android phone and they do an update and suddenly it looks completely different and operates entirely differently, that would be a problem for a large amount of people that don't necessarily aren't used to kind of thinking that way, or even want it to change. They've spent the last 6 to 8 months getting used to how TouchWiz works and they're fine with it the way it is. So it would be weird for them to suddenly update their phone and have it change completely. At the same time, it's really disappointing because Ice Cream Sandwich is such a good update to Android from taking it from kind of something that felt a little played out and renewing it and giving it a very nice facelift, and it's really enjoyable. All those features, so many of the features in Ice Cream Sandwich are new and enjoyable to use because of the attention to detail from a design standpoint. And then the manufacturers come along and they kick it right back to the way it was because that's the way it was. And I think even in this article, he said it feels very gingerbready. And isn't that a disappointment to get Ice Cream Sandwich on your phone finally, but yet still feel like you're on gingerbread,
But you have to remember what you're talking about there. You don't have an Ice Cream Sandwich phone. You have a Samsung TouchWiz phone that happens to run Ice Cream Sandwich.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's more so with Samsung than I think the other manufacturers, especially when you get into Ice Cream Sandwich on the HTC phones. And I can't wait for everybody to try Sense. I was talking to somebody in our forums today who said, am I going to hate it? I really don't like it. And I said, no, you need to try it first. It's really not bad. Mm-hmm. Samsung is a much heavier skin than everything else. But, we've seen HTC turn around. We've seen LG go back and forth on how they want to do it.
Right.
Motorola has gotten better in leaps and bounds over the years.
Yeah, that's true.
I was just about to say what I've seen of the early kind of shots of Motorola's Ice Cream Sandwich integration actually looked pretty decent. It looked like they were keeping kind of close to the original.
And that's the thing, you compare what we've seen with HTC and Motorola, and that's why we're kind of disappointed with Samsung, I think. I was very naive. I thought, I'm going to have what Jason has. No.
Well, I'm not surprised to hear it either, because you've got some vice president in Samsung who says, wait a minute, we spent how much on our interface and now you just want us to throw it away?
Right.
And so, they're not approaching it from the same motivation that we're approaching it, or that maybe even Google's approaching it, And I was surprised by HTC because I thought they would have had a similar kind of reaction. But I think the evolution will, it will get there. It's just Samsung seems to be lagging.
Well, at the same time, the International Galaxy S2 ICS source code is now available, which is great timing. I rooted my phone this weekend, and that is thanks to my new buddy, Dale Dubnik, who was chatting with me on G+, and kind of walked me through to make sure I didn't screw anything up. And there was I only needed 2 pieces to download. I used a PC, not a Mac.
Yeah, it's easier on a PC.
It's so much easier on a PC. And it took 5 minutes. I literally said, this is it? I'm done? He's like, yep, you're done. He checked on a couple things. There was a few things in the process. I took some screenshots. I should have sent them to you, Chad. Sorry. That I was a little nervous about because there was a warning at the very beginning when I started. And he said, just skip that. Just move on. But literally, it took like 5 minutes, and it was done. So I have super user access, and now I have to pick a ROM. So
yeah,
that's
and
my
I every phone has a different kind of variety of ROMs and a different type of support. Galaxy S2 probably has good support. Although from what I've heard of Ice Cream Sandwich ROMs for the S2, is that the camera support might not necessarily be there.
Although some people are telling me differently, and now everybody's telling me in chat room I should do CM9. Duh. Okay, I thought about that, but I like because I have choice, as we've talked about in other episodes. I'm just thinking about what I should get out there. And then other people have been asking me, how'd you do it? I didn't realize how many people, because originally, as I've talked before, I've had 15 tabs open, and you know, there's not one clear set of directions. And my set of directions probably will still be different from yours, even if you have my same phone because of the kernel that you have. Definitely do it on a Windows machine. I guess you know what I'll do? I'll post what worked for me on G Plus, but yours will be different, slightly different, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Potentially.
Potentially.
It really depends. There's a lot of variants of the Galaxy S2, and yours is unlocked overseas version.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not, you know, I don't know how it is in that landscape of phones, but I would imagine that the rules that work for you aren't necessarily going to positively work for those in the U.S. and with Galaxy S2 phones bought from a carrier here. So
that brings a question. I mean, I know, Phil, you were like, I don't read my phone. And you, I know you teased me on Twitter. You're like, I'm going to ask you why you did that.
No, and I am going to ask you why you did that, especially in... We need to bring this up. So the CM team put out a blog post this week that they're changing the way they do things in CM9. So typically with, I would probably say, the vast majority of custom ROMs, they come to you pre-rooted. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, we're talking two different things here. Custom ROM and root are two different things, right? To do a custom ROM, you need an unlocked bootloader. The ROM itself, having root access means basically having lower level access, having different permissions set up within that ROM itself. So those are two different things. So my question to you was, what apps do you use? And this is something we've been asking ourselves at AC. You know, what apps do you use that you have to have root for? Because I got down to it. I don't need root. You know, if what I do daily, I don't need root access on the phone. Now, this thing, this Galaxy Nexus very much has the bootloader unlocked.
Yeah.
First thing I, you know, the very first thing I did. So, especially with ICS and the Galaxy Nexus, you can do a lot of really cool things like it. Like, you can boot into an insecure boot image. So, I can actually have root access, temporary root, you know, without having to change the ROM. Mm-hmm. Or I can boot into a custom recovery and then do a backup that way without actually having to flash the recovery. And, flash it back and saves time.
Weren't the main reasons to go with a ROM things like the backup software and also like what is the other applications that you can do with it? There's Titanium backup and then there's
set CPU pretender. You know for like throttling your
overclocking.
So that's the question. What apps are you using that you have to have root access for? I got around that by just doing an Android backup by booting into a custom recovery to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you can boot into a rooted, you know, boot image to take care of that. You know, so it really just depends. I hesitate when I hear people say, you know, I need to root my phone, and then they don't know why. So then you see the Cyanogen Mod Group this week said, all right, you know what? We're going to make that optional. We're going to make rooting, because rooting in and of itself is insecure, right?
Well,
it's just wide open.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's more of a technical kind of, I don't want to say hobbyist because I don't want to give it a negative connotation, but it's for the people who can handle, like, because I don't root my phone, I don't run a mod. We've talked about this before on the show, because not because I don't think I can, I definitely have the technical chops to, but because I want to keep my phone as stock as possible so I can talk to my sister and talk to whoever else and help troubleshoot and things like that. And I don't want it to be too deviating from what you get from the store. But there are people, much like a lot of our audience, a lot of folks in the chat room who are a different audience who want to be able to run the backup stuff, who want to the tethering, data tethering and stuff like that, getting access, you know, that root level access that those mods that run on top of root can't actually get to. So it's a tough, you know, like I think there are apps that require that root stuff, even though I don't feel the need to use them.
I just want people to understand what they're using, especially in this new age of privacy and security and everybody freaks out at everything. You know, if your phone is rooted, it is inherently less secure than a phone that is not rooted.
Yeah, you've broken the security model of your phone, and that's a choice that you've made. And I think you're absolutely right, Phil. You should understand why that is, that you're rooting your phone before you necessarily do it. I think a lot of times it comes across as like a cool feature of this thing that you can do with Android is you can root your phone, and you know then you can do whatever you want with it. But you know, I'm sure some people do that and don't really know why they're doing it, just that they've done it, and now they have an unrooted phone and you know who knows what they can do with it from there.
I wonder where the horror stories are where people have heard about these things and they do a Google search and they end up on CyanogenMod's site or they end up on a message board somewhere and they go through the instructions and they brick their phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wonder how many. I'd be curious if anybody in the audience have had that problem, or anybody that works at a cell phone store has had somebody come in with their phone after it's clearly been rooted and just completely rendered useless because they screwed it up. We don't hear those stories that much, which I find surprising.
Right. It's always the thread, and it's always when you're reading through the forums to root your device, you see, you know, a lot of warnings in bold and red letters, you know, saying, you know, this step is incredibly important. Otherwise, you could break your device. And it's that horror, you know, that goes through your mind of like, oh, wow, what I'm doing right now might actually destroy my device. I've encountered many, you know, speed bumps in rooting and ROMing and all that with my phones a few times, thinking, oh, I must have bricked it, but I never have. It's never actually bricked to the point where my device doesn't work anymore. But it's something to be aware of. I think the other side of it is what Philip, what you're saying as far as just the security model of your phone. You know, it might not necessarily be that you're breaking your device by trying to root it, but once it's unrooted and then you forget about it and you aren't doing anything with that and your phone's just left wide open, you do run the risk of someone who's smarter than you coming along and doing nefarious things because of that security risk.
Well, and in answer to your question, I'm more like Ron, where I don't really need, and I'm probably more like you too, Phil, but I honestly did it for the show, so I know what the hell I'm talking about when we get into these stories and when we're talking about, I mean, I need to know this stuff,
yeah.
And it's also just sort of to know that I could do it.
Yeah.
So it's the knowledge for me, so I know what I'm giving out when I'm talking about these things.
Right.
Sure.
But would I really have done it? I don't know. When I was an iPhone user, I did jailbreak that phone because there were apps that I wanted that ecosystem is more locked down. So there's a lot of apps there that I couldn't do and use because it wasn't available. So I have a little bit of experience in that world. So I just thought, well, for me, it was for more knowledge.
Yeah.
No, I'm not judging. I was just
curious. No. I didn't know, but you asked the question. So yeah. I was just like, well, you know, I just felt like you've talked about it so much. I'll read stories and maybe I don't necessarily understand because I've never done it.
It is a whole other side of Android. And I find it fascinating. I'm very interested in the process. Kind of like how we were talking last week about you go down that rabbit hole and 4 hours, 5 hours later, you come up empty handed. You're like, why do I even do this? And some people actually love the thrill of that, you know?
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. The 3 or 4 hours that I spent, I wish I was watching reruns of Downton Abbey instead. But
you could have been doing both at the same time.
No, because I was so worried that I was going to mess things up. I didn't want to focus.
Yeah,
so
I understand.
Thank you, Dale, for all your help. And my adventures continue. I will report as we move
and the other side to this, you can always unroot.
Yeah, that's true.
You can always go backwards. So there's
very,
that.
Very, very true.
Ron, why don't you take the next story?
Sure, yeah. We have been tracking, and I'm going to tease a tease later on. One of our favorite hardware developers is Sony, with their interesting approach to Android devices, and we're going to hear a little bit about one in a little bit. But first, there's some news about a new Sony Xperia Magic smartphone that will let you navigate without even touching the screen.
What do you do with your mind?
Yeah, Sony's Xperia Solo is, and I got to read this verbatim because it's too good. Xperia Solo comes with the power of Sony and a sense of magic with floating touch, giving consumers a fun new way to browse the web and latest technology to show off. Basically, they're using this floating touch technology that allows you to not even have to touch the phone in order to navigate it. You can just kind of hover your finger over it and use that to get it, to get around. And they're dubbing it as the most innovative and smart approach to the smartphone. So interesting approach. The Xperia Solo has got a 3.7-inch display and a 1 gigahertz dual-core processor. It's got 3D surround sound, a 5-megapixel camera, 16x zoom. It can record 720p video. It's got DLNA, and it is running Android 2.3, but it's upgradable to 4.0.
This is going to drive people who love keyboards crazy.
Yeah.
Right? The non-touch. I'm just looking at this video for the first time. If you're watching the video,
you hover your finger over, and then it selects as you move your finger around, and then I guess you push down. I just don't know how necessary that is.
Well, and aren't you going to make more mistakes?
They're clearly not playing up the fact that this enables you to get ultra security with your lock screen pattern because you don't even touch the phone, thereby not making the grease pattern that John Dvorak talked about earlier. So there you go.
Interesting.
I don't know what to think of that, honestly.
It's just magic. I don't know. Well, I don't even think it's magic.
Yeah, it's going to go it's going to be available globally in Q2 of 2012 and no price. There's no price announced with the magic of smart touch.
No price, no touch.
Can you really put a price on it?
I know, right? I can't imagine technology like that sells itself. Like, they couldn't, like, give it, you know, boost it $200 on the price and be like, but it's got floating touch.
Yeah, you don't have
to. You need that, don't you? Yeah, not too sold on that one. But I guess, what, you know, once you use it, you probably understand it a little bit more. So I was thinking we do a lot of, well, there are all the time. There's always rumors and kind of leaks happening in the Android world. You don't necessarily want to report on it as if it's real, but it's kind of fun to hear about it. So I'm doing a little word on the street today and see what we think about this going forward. So first, Nexus S owners who have been wondering where their ice cream sandwich update has been can finally, hopefully, breathe a sigh of relief as a trusted source told Engadget to expect that update in the next few weeks. So they had released it way back when and then had to pull it.
Yeah.
Ron, I know you got in on it before it was pulled. You've had ice cream sandwich and you haven't really experienced any weirdness?
Not that I've noticed.
Yeah.
I mean, like I've been looking for weirdness. I've been looking for things not to work. Or, I mean, I've been trying to not break it.
Trying to make it bad.
Yeah, but you know, like I've been running fine since the day I installed it. So I don't know what I haven't looked too deep into what the problems are going to be or supposed to be. But for my needs, it's been working fine. So,
okay.
Your mileage may vary. So
yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, Samsung's Galaxy S3 has been like mega rumored the last few weeks, including this supposed picture taken of the elusive device, a slide. Further, the device is said to be packing a Samsung developed next gen Exynos CPU and is now entering production phase, supposedly.
I've held that device right there.
Oh, really?
What?
I used that one 3 weeks ago at Mobile World Congress. It's called the Galaxy S Wi-Fi 4.2.
That's
what that is. The only difference between the real thing and that picture is the front-facing camera and the ambient light sensor. But that's it. And, you know, whoever Photoshopped whatever that display.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Did you like it?
But the rest of it is that device.
Did you like it?
You know, it's a Wi-Fi-only TouchWiz device is what it is.
Yeah.
All right, so... Sounds like maybe a little bit of fake
that
going
was
on.
Fake.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's
announced
where
fake.
See, we put it in the word on the street block, and who cares? You know, it could be fake.
Fake.
That's right. The Samsung Unpacked event in London was supposedly going to be where this device would be unveiled to the public, but now I'm thinking twice on that one. Moving on to Motorola, their 2012 flagship phone could be the Droid Fighter for Verizon. It's something about that name that I kind of like. Rumored for an April release. The photos look very similar, actually, to the Droid Razer Max, but no official specs have leaked
yet.
Yeah,
well, they're saying that the battery is, you know, 3,300,
well,
you know.
I think they're speculating based on the photos, because I don't know if they really have much information other than the pictures.
Yeah, the Droid Razer Max has a 3,300 milliamp hour battery.
So
and this one obviously has a larger display, and it, you know, it looks like it's built for ice cream sandwich because it doesn't have physical buttons.
Yeah, no physical buttons.
Not a whole lot to tell, and I'm really not, I mean, okay.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's the next gen, you know, whatever. The question is, when's it going to come out? And if it's coming out, all right, so the original Droid Razer came out, what, November?
It was November.
Mm-hmm.
So if this thing comes out in April, that's what? 6 months difference, not even that.
And is it going to push out the Max, make the Max yesterday's news as quickly as the Max made the Razer yesterday's news?
Exactly. Here we go again.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? We'll see.
It wasn't Motorola that was it was HTC that said they were going to scale back the number of devices.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say Motorola, you're not starting off strong there. And finally, late breaking rumor that's only sort of Android related. HTC Beats Audio Arm is rumored to have bought music service Moog. Not a music service that I've used, but
it's okay.
you've used it. I
used it a little bit. I still prefer RDO, but I know Brian Brushwood liked Moog quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. The Moog
virtually
users
the same. Go ahead.
The Moog users are really, really loyal from what I've heard. Yeah, because I heard rumors that they were on the block a couple weeks ago, and the folks I was talking to, a couple of them were very concerned because they like Moog so much. But I'm not surprised to hear that Beats would buy this, considering what I heard that they were, at a point in their company's life cycle where they needed to get acquired. So,
And you know, both services, Moog and RDO, when I started using it, they've both evolved quite a bit. At the time, Moog had the better app, and they had a radio. I don't even, you know,
radio tie-in.
Yeah, like a radio sort of like, oh, it'll play in, you know, it'll mix up your the music that based
oh,
on your
I see.
Based on your tastes.
Pandora-esque.
Yeah, very Pandora-esque, while at the time RDO didn't. But I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where if you enjoy something, I enjoyed RDO. That's what I started with. I'm still there. And I tried Mog a little bit, but, you know, it wasn't enough for me to be, you know.
For whatever reason, I felt like Mog never had the traction that RDO or Spotify have been able to build. And I don't quite know why, whether it's lack of label support or lack of...
they seem to have some of the same music, but yeah.
They do. I don't know if it's a biz dev problem, because like you said, they've been early to a lot of platforms. There's a name that's been kicking around, but I've never seen any real momentum behind it other than that loyal base. So,
yeah.
So, and just real quick here, I've got this.
We teased it last week, and then we never talked about it.
Yeah, I don't even know if we mentioned it or if it was just in pre-show, but I have here the Sony Tablet P, and I am going to be recording a review of this. I don't have it powered on right now, sorry, but I'm going to be recording a review of this tomorrow for Before You Buy here on the Twit Network, so that'll hopefully be appearing in this week's episode, if not next week, but next Monday I can definitely talk a lot about this. I got some things to say about this thing. It's a unique form factor. That's about it. Yeah, so many things to say about it.
There's your tease.
Little of which is very good. So stay tuned for that.
Wow.
All right, let's take an email, Ron.
All right. So this email comes from Marlin, also known as the guy from Trinidad, who says, "Hey, I just installed the newest Humble Bundle pack for say that a couple times fast.
Humble Bundle.
The new Humble Bundle pack for Android, and I highly recommend it, as these are all optimized for tablets and are absolutely fantastic. Check it out at humblebundle.com, and you also get the soundtracks. And there are only 14 days left in this offer. So if you're not aware of Humble Bundle, it is a great way to get a bunch of really cool stuff for a low, often very low price. And this sounds like this tablet optimized pack is the way to go if you've got a tablet looking for fun stuff to play with. So
yeah, the games look really good. They're kind of debuting here a little bit earlier today. So they have kind of a name your price type deal with the Humble Bundle, and then they have a certain price that if you pay more than that which they call the average of all the games, right now it's sitting at $6.16, you get an extra game, which is Swords and Soldiers. And
yeah, that's like, you know, what was it, $5.89, I think, when I wrote that up this afternoon. So
No, I was gonna say, yeah, earlier today it was definitely lower than that, so it seems to obviously it's rising, and the earlier you get in, probably the better price you're gonna get to get all of those. But love the Humble Bundle. It's hard to say I don't love that about it.
Humble Bundle.
Otherwise, it's great. So thank you, Marlon, for sending that in. All right, let's check in on some apps other than those that we just talked about.
Oh, Ron.
Well, my favorite topic is back, but this time we're talking internationally. Google TV seems like it's prepping for some global expansion as some apps have emerged in the market that don't seem to be focused on the U.S. market. Fandroid.com has the article here. Where there's apparently a flurry of international apps to bring U.S. residents closer to their home countries. The list include the Asian Channel, PPTV, Yup TV, Raga, and Crunchyroll, which is a big anime source, as well as the Al Jazeera app, which I noticed over the weekend. I noticed that was there in the store, as well as Islam Box and Euronews. So it looks like that they're getting ready to go international with Google TV, and it's probably, you know, as we can anticipate, Google I.O. will have more information to reveal about the plans for Google TV. Interesting, though. Interesting developments.
Man, we can only hope. Google and their kind of habit of rolling out all this really cool stuff stateside and then waiting forever, if ever, to roll it out overseas. Well, let's hope that this hits
maybe
overseas.
Maybe they're learning. Who knows? So maybe it's at the point now. Or maybe they've got a big deal, you know, considering Google TV is going to be on so many TVs by June.
Right. And it will happen by June, right? That's what, 3 months away?
Oh, yeah.
I'm the bullish guy, and I'm being snarky about that.
We're going to be checking our calendars. All right. Happy birthday, Amazon App Store. Happy birthday, Amazon App Store.
I think you're singing by yourself right now. Although it's a milestone.
I knew you guys would not sing with me. 31K apps. Millions have been sold. And there's a bunch of sales this week. Check it out. I can't actually, when I saw this story, I thought, wow, they've been around for a year? I didn't even...
Yeah, you're right. I've been only using that app for free app of the day for a year now.
I know. Remember when we first started the show, I was like, the free app of the day is so amazing.
And I still check it, but I would never decide to purchase my app through the Amazon App Store unless, of course, that app wasn't available in the Play Store. Mm-hmm. If anything, just for the updates. Like the updates, it's always so much more frequent on the Play Store than they are on Amazon.
Well, a lot of times I'll just buy a duplicate on my Fire because I have a Kindle Fire. Mm-hmm. So say, you know, I just TuneIn Radio Pro. I have that already. I bought it on the Play Store. Play Store. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted it on that device as well. I went ahead and got it, even though I'd already purchased it. But mm-hmm. You're right. I mean, I do always go to the Google Play Store first. But anyways, congratulations, Amazon.
I know. Is anybody else here buying loads of apps through the Amazon App Store at this point? No, when given a choice.
Silence.
No.
Crickets. Yes. Do we have crickets?
The silence is deafening.
I get really annoyed when the Amazon App Store app needs to be updated for some reason when I see that little icon.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Come on. Yeah,
so. Chat rooms, a lot of them know.
Yeah. Well. All right, a quick email here. John writes in to say, hey, I watch you every week, and as a result of your suggestions, I've upgraded from my original Droid to the Galaxy Nexus and have purchased the Transformer Prime. Lucky you. Good going. So this is a two-part question. One, is there an app that plays .mov or .mp4 files? I'm pretty sure Mobile Player might be the way to go there. They have a really wide range of video files, including MOV, QuickTime files, that it can play back. And it's just a really highly rated video player app. I know, Ron, you've had a few different video player apps that you featured on the show. Do you know of any of them playback MP4 or MOV?
I was just in the process of searching to try to see if I could find out or not. What was that Rock Player one that I looked at? Excuse my typing as I go to look that up.
I'm thinking of Rock Melt, but that's a browser.
Rock Player Lite.
Rock Player Lite, yes.
Yeah, a lot. I'm checking it right now. A lot of the players like MX Video Player and Rock Player allow you to install codecs. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if I don't think Rock Player. I'm looking at the Rock Player Lite right now, and it doesn't look like it plays MP4s. It doesn't say it. But let me check MX Video Player. But Mobile Player is a good one. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Excuse me, this is so wonderful as I look at snacks.
Yeah, you look into that. Yeah. I'll read the second part of the question, which is there a way to view the brick wall, or did my donation go in vain? There actually is a way for you to check the brick wall. If for those who don't know, a large part of this Twit studio was funded by you, the viewers and listeners of all of our awesome our content. You guys are great. And you donated and bought bricks for our front entryway. You can check out and see if your brick is up there. If you go to gigapan.org/galleries/8010/gigapans. I know that's a long URL there, but gigapan.org/galleries/8010/gigapans. And you can see there's a bunch of gigapans that you can scroll through and find your brick. Not at all Android related, but you asked. So there you go. And
Ron,
so
do you
check
have
it
another?
Out. Checking back in with our on the scene reporter, Ron Richards.
Yeah.
And well, the weather.
I'm thinking MX Video Player is the way you want to go with that.
Okay.
There you go. High tech AG Pilot confirmed that.
I'm trying to find. You. I'm here. It says it plays 3GP, AVI, DivX, FLV, MKV, MP4, MPEG, .MOV, .VOB, .WMV, WebM, and XVID. So yeah, MX Player is the way you want to go. That's the one I use on my tablet. So that is the one.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you, Ron, and thank you, John. And we're going to take a quick break. We're going to thank our second sponsor, Audible. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction. I love nonfiction. And periodicals. For listeners of All About Android, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook you may consider downloading. I just finished Ready Player One.
Nice.
Super, super loved the reading by Mr. Will Wheaton. Even in 1.5 times. I read it a little bit faster. It was fantastic. It took a little while for me to get into it. And once there was a big event, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours in. And once that big event happened, I thought, oh, bleep gets real in this in this story. And I thought, oh, this is not just a fun, you know, retrospective of 80s culture and sort of looking at the futuristic world in this oasis. There's more. There's some, you know, people die in this. I was like, what? People die? No way. I loved it. Okay. Not that I like people dying, but, you know, it just,
but still,
the gravity of the story just became, you know, stronger for me. So, oh, are we listening to it?
Streaming television network.
Yep,
anyone logged into the simulation could tune in and watch your POV channel from anywhere in the world. What you aired on your channel and who you allowed to view it were entirely up to you.
Most users. Yeah, I definitely want to check this. This is on my list.
And you know, it's funny because I listened 1.5 times. So his voice is a little higher when so I'm listening to that now. I'm like, wow, his voice is really deep. and I also downloaded Baratunde Thurston's How to Be Black, which is on my list. Uh-huh. 6 hours. I had downloaded Bill Clinton's Back to Work, and I started listening to that as well. And I tried to listen to that 1.5 times, but I kind of need to hear his real voice. So I stepped that back a little bit. I've got a ton in my queue, actually, I love. And then what's the other one? Oh, World War Z is another one that I've got. Those are each like 5-6 hours long, all three of those.
Yeah.
Ready Player One's like 17. So, you know.
Oh, that's a pretty thick one.
That's a pretty thick one, but it was worth it. And all of the 80s references, if you love that, that kind of thing. I mean, one of my favorite movies growing up was War Games, and they talked about that incessantly through the film. And at one point, oh, I don't even want to get into it. It was just really, really good. Tempest, did you guys play? I mean, just lots of 80s references. I love, and they laid it on pretty thick, but I think that was the point. So
yeah,
Ready
exactly.
Player One is definitely my pick for cool. Audible. To download that book for free or whatever else you want from Audible, again, there's tons of choices. Go to audiblepodcast.com/Android. That's audiblepodcast.com. Sorry, audiblepodcast.com/Android. audiblepodcast.com/Android.
There we go.
And we thank them for their support of our show. Thank you, Audible.
Yeah, Audible's great.
And that's the point where I'm like, whenever you read that, I'm like, oh, but don't forget the app. And so I totally forgot the app. And the app is fantastic. So,
yeah, no, it is a great app. And you get very used to using it, especially when you're getting a credit every month to buy a new audiobook.
There's my three books, World War Z, How to Be Black, and Back to Work. I'm going to finish those this month. All right.
All right, cool. Without further ado, let's jump into the arena.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
Boom! Boom goes the dynamite. That's right. People love using Wi-Fi Explorer Pro, apparently. Apparently, I picked.
Apparently, Jason won.
Apparently, yes.
Wow.
It feels good. 46% voted for Wi-Fi Explorer Pro. Second place was Overscreen, showing that apps that go over the top of other apps isn't a 100% win. So I did see that there's also a calculator one. So if you want to use that one, go for
it.
We'll see what happens there. Let's see here. Third place would be Do It Tomorrow, Ron. That was your app with 11%. And fourth place, Reddit Is Fun with 9%.
I eked out a non last place loss. So.
Yeah, there you go. I'm the last non-loser. Let's see here. So this week we have yet another grab bag, and I guess the order would be that Ron, you were in last-ish place, so you get to go first.
I was indeed in last-ish place, and Jason, you're going to help me out here with the demo.
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up on the tablet.
I thought that I had one this week, and I still believe that I do, but I thought that I had one that even Eileen could agree with is a fun app to have. And I've been fascinated because for both those of you who listen know that I have both an iPad and a Motorola Zoom, and I often like to watch television at the gym. And I've been mainly bringing my iPad to the gym more often than the Android tablet because getting the video I want to watch on the Android tablet is a pain in the butt. I would need to either get the video from other sources and pop copy it over or whatever. And actually, Android doesn't have the acceptance from the media makers out there to be making branded apps the same way the iPad does. On the iPad, there's the ABC app, there's the NBC app, and also the CW has an app, in addition to Hulu and Netflix and all things like that. But when I saw recently that the CW released an Android app, I was all over it. And so that's my app today in the arena. It is the official CW Network application that is optimized for both phones and tablets. And it allows you to watch your favorite CW shows on the go, wherever you may be, as long as you have a data connection. Clearly, I'm using this to watch Gossip Girl, which now we will do, and I'll make everybody on the show watch as well. But if you're a Nikita fan or a Ringer, which is a great show, which a buddy of mine is a writer for in that show, Sarah Michelle Gellar, you can watch that. But Eileen, you watch Vampire Diaries,
That's right? The number one show on the network, yes.
Yeah, so Vampire Diaries out there. I don't watch that because of the vampire thing. But it's actually a pretty solid app. The tablet optimization is really nice. It's very visual. You can watch full episodes or you can watch clips.
I really got to click on Gossip Girl, Ron.
Yes, click on it.
This
yes,
is going to save to my Google history, you know.
Yep, I know. You're going to see ads all about Michelle Trachtenberg.
Oh, Flash so. Needs to be installed. That's okay. Yeah. I'll do that.
Oh, well, there you go. It is Flash. That's my dad. For their video, yeah. So you're supposed to have Flash installed like I do on my tablet. But in addition to – it's not just the shows. They've got their full schedule. They've got photos and all that sort of stuff that's associated with the shows. So you can really – if you are a fan of the CW, you can get an immersive experience. As we found out pre-show, they are very aggressive about the devices that this is compatible with. And actually on the Google Play Store there's a listing of all the phones that it is compatible with, but they're also limiting on the left hand side when you can click to see if the app is compatible with your devices. You can see if it's compatible with your device, and we found out that it's not compatible with the Samsung Galaxy 7. Is that what
7.7? Yeah, the 7. One that 7. I have here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So keep an eye out if you're interested in this to make sure it is compatible. But that said, if you're a CW fan, this is a must download. And now it's how I watch Gossip Girl when I'm at the gym when I've got Flash installed. So
play,
and we'll sit here and we'll watch Jason Cat play over and over again.
Play.
It does play video though. See, and now I'm getting a demo fail in the chat room.
Oh.
Demo.
Play.
Yeah.
More info.
Well, I would have put it on my.
There we go.
I would have put it on my tablet, but I couldn't.
Right. I know. The full video is commercial based, but that's no different than the other networks, like NBC and ABC, that sort of thing. So you just watch one commercial, and then you can watch the shows all for free. So
bless.
Let's just assume it plays video.
It does.
It plays video for most people. Yeah. I blame my tablet.
There you go. Uh-huh. And it only requires Android 2.2 and up. So there you go. So even you older OS folks can use it. So.
I think it's protecting me from watching an episode of Grammar.
You're gonna get hooked. That's what's gonna
it's
happen.
It's protecting
you're
gonna
get you. Oh, man. So it is protecting me. Okay, good. All right, cool. So that is the CW app in the Android market, and that is free. Eileen?
Well, my app has just validated the creation of the Samsung Note. And it is an app that has been downloaded 30 million times and growing. It has only been around for about, I don't know, 5 weeks? I don't even know, Chad, but not that long. And if you don't already play it, I'd be really, really shocked. My app this week is Draw Something, and it's free in the Android marketplace. There is a 99-cent version that eliminates ads and gives you some coins so you can buy more color palettes. So really the premise of the game, if you don't know, I feel like you might already if you're listening to this podcast, it is a social drawing and guessing game and it's cross-platform. So I'm playing currently with a lot of my iOS friends along with my other Android friends as well. And what you basically do is you draw. So I'm going to play, this is going to be sad. So I'm going to, Tony Wang is an editor here, and he has a Samsung Galaxy Note. So I'm sure his drawing is fantastic. We'll see. So when you start a game, what you'll see is you'll watch Tony guess what my drawing was for him. And you'll see that in real time. And you'll see here, this is my drawing of the word kick. And I draw lots of hangman. If you are my friend on Draw Something, most of my people look like this. I'm not a very good drawer. And so you've got little Scrabble tiles down here, and what you need to do in the process of watching this drawing at any point as it's going, you can guess. So he didn't guess yet that it's kick. And I... Doesn't that arrow... So I have an arrow pointing up. Oh, there he goes. And he guessed. Yay! So you get coins for guessing. The more difficult drawings gets more coins. The coin is easy is one. Medium is two. And difficult is three. So I'm going to go ahead and guess what Tony is drawing. Now, sometimes this could take a while, so hopefully it doesn't take too long. But let me tap to guess. These are my choices. Maybe you guys can help me out in the chat room. Obviously, he has a spen. I feel a little like, is it a Viking? Is it a... I'm sorry for the audio listeners because they can't see this. But there looks to be a bull or a cow. I'm not looking at the letters. Sometimes you can just sort of like start the drawing. Longhorn? Ah! Oh. No, it's not. There's no N. Oh, no. Come on, people!
This is riveting.
It is riveting. And it gets more fun and fun. So this bomb here, you get a couple bombs, so you can eliminate letters.
Cowboy?
I don't know if it's cow. It is dragonborn. Cowboy. Oh, now we got somebody writing. Oh, wait, maybe it is cowboy.
No, you have too many letters for cowboy.
Oh, shoot. There's... Cowbell?
Cowgirl.
There's no
cowgirl.
E.
Cowgirl.
Cowgirl. Oh, cowgirl.
Cowgirl.
Thank you, guys.
Thank me.
Thank you, Ron. See how exciting. Correct. And then you see the rest of the drawing. Now it's my turn to draw for him. I'll make this really fast. I'll do it really easy here. And
there should be some arena rule that doesn't allow you to pick the most popular game on both platforms right now.
So, pet, shore, I already drew a short Olympics. Now, I don't have all the color palettes, but maybe I'll just try this because I want three coins. So, Olympics, how does it go? It goes like this, right?
Am I we could get sued right now.
Can we?
I don't know.
Then I need a green, right? Don't I need a green? But
yeah.
Whatever. And then...
That's good enough.
Yeah, it's good enough, right? Tony, you'll get this. And then we'll do like some person doing handstand, you know, and then they jump over the bar. This is like pathetic. There's my Olympics. Great. And when you're done, you hit done, you can erase it here by picking the erase tool. Look, one-legged guy. There we go. It's a special
folks in the chat room are saying this app is a ringer.
And you hit done. Done drawing. Yes, I'm done. Okay. And that is the game, and it keeps going back and forth and back and forth. So I have the free. So there's a Grammy. There's a Tumblr blog right now that is
like
insane
really
with really good art. And our friends over at our gaming show, why am I blanking out on the
game
name?
Game On.
Game On, thank you very much. They actually interviewed some of the product managers or creators of the app. Of OMG Pop. And apparently the most difficult guessing or drawing to guess is ore. Is that correct, Chad? He doesn't have his
right,
he doesn't
as in
have his
boat
mic.
Ore.
Right. So we found out from them that the most difficult word is ore.
O-A-R.
Which is O-A-R. So here's me actually playing the game, and I'm going to speed it up here for you.
Yeah, speed it up. I can tell that's an ore, but maybe you wouldn't know. I mean.
Right. Maybe it's not perfect.
Fin.
So no, they thought, fin, no. Here, let me speed it up even faster. We're at 200%
The only
now.
Thing that I would say is that they need some new words because I'm seeing repeats like walrus
well,
and
isn't
weezer.
It true that if you get the paid version, it opens up the dictionary to like.
It doesn't seem like it. Chad, you have the paid
you
version.
You both
right?
have to have the paid
right,
version.
Right, I have the
it.
Paid yeah. version. So no. Anyone, if you have, you the only thing that you miss out with the paid version is ads.
So never mind. Don't listen to me.
Yeah, and you also get 400 coins when you buy
right.
the 99-cent version, and you can use those coins to buy more colors. So, like, if you look over
I need
here,
more colors
on this
I need
one,
green. Yeah, look at that.
So this is something I actually drew. This is a milkman, and so you can
I
see all the colors up there at the top. And I don't know
if I'd get a milkman from that. Even, but it's
presence is really good.
Yeah, this is
you
presence.
Drew this.
Yeah,
you
this
drew
is,
that.
This is mine. Yeah, yeah. I'm just playing with Nicole. You can see.
Wow.
And this one was to somebody else. But yeah, that was the Grammy. And so you can see all my colors up at the top.
All right. So Eileen's
Grammy.
Winning
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe don't people know. Are over it.
We need to adjust the rules here. We really need to adjust
the
rules.
What do you mean? What do you mean? I just, you know, it's what's hot. It's what's out there. And I got to it for you guys. Sorry.
You're very tapped into the zeitgeist. It's very good.
Yeah. Well, one of us has to be, right? No, just kidding. Hey, Chad, can you just show this one last drawing for everybody? I just put it in chat.
Oh, of course.
It's my favorite one that I've done so far.
Yeah.
And then I'll stop talking about Draw Something. So, and there is Twilight.
Nice. There's a lot of emotion in those four colors. It's very good.
You can still draw really well with four colors. I'm going to get a new color palette after this show.
I see two colors.
What? Oh.
No, well, yeah, she has four to choose from.
I have four. See, there's four up there, but I've only used...
The other ones are very subtle.
And the game counts white as a color if you erase, because the background
they include that. Yeah, so. Awesome. Well, that's Draw Something. If you hadn't already heard, that's the app
sweeping the nation right in some way. Honestly, I was not even going to try. I had a different app plan, and then I'd heard about it all. Everybody's been talking about Draw Something, so I actually launched for the first time on Friday, and then I got it, and then I was like, oh, man. And it wasn't even, it's just like, you got to talk about it, and there we go. Done.
There we go. All right, Phil, you are up next. Take it away.
So I buy a lot of crap. And you have a lot of crap shipped here. And I've been struggling to find a good kind of shipping app, you know, something to keep track of all of it that I don't have to plug in the tracking number each time, because that's a pain, right? It's a pain to do on a computer, let alone do it on a smartphone. So a really good iOS app finally came out for Android. It's called Slice, and I don't know why it's called Slice. Maybe you can slice open a box. I guess makes sense. And the way it works is you actually have to tie it into an email account. So I've got it tied into my personal Gmail account, and then it scans my inbox and says, all right, here's a receipt for something from Amazon. Here's something from you can have it squelch out Netflix and I think iTunes. So that stuff won't clog it up. And it tracks all your receipts. It tracks all your tracking numbers. And then there's a section so you can go and see where things are delivered. Here's a really odd aside, the 6 degrees of Phil, the little demo picture there has something being delivered from Destin to Pensacola, which is, I live in Pensacola. Go for it. I have no idea why I asked him. Totally coincidental. But it pulls everything together just beautifully, and it's really the way I need it. Now, the caveat is this app has access to your entire email account, right? It can see your email, and it can scan it and do all that. I have no problem with that. You might. But it's something to be aware of up front. But if you have a lot of stuff being shipped to you, you know, constantly, like I do, it's kind of a lifesaver. I use the same sort of thing for traveling. You know, I use TripIt for travel, and TripIt monitors my inbox too, so I don't have to remember to send stuff. So it's marvelous, marvelous app. Really well done, and deserves a second look if you tried to download it when it first came out and it didn't work. It's getting better all the time. They've already, you know, updated it 3 or 4 times since it launched, so I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I was really impressed because I installed this, so then I'm showing it off actually on my phone for while you're talking about it, Phil, and I was really impressed with how much information it was able to glean.
We were talking about this before the show. It actually aggregates everything that it finds in there. So I think mine, yours says you've spent $2,000. Mine says I've spent $16,000. And I finally realized it's going back. Mine goes back to, I think, 2008.
Yeah. Mine goes back about that far, too.
Expenses for work that have since been reimbursed.
Sure.
So my wife is watching. I've not spent $16,000 yet.
Yeah, so maybe it's not necessarily best used to track that overall spending money. Maybe so. But it seems really handy for, like you said, kind of tracking like shipments. You can go into any of these apps in my case, there's a lot of apps on here, but you can go into any of them and kind of see your order number and how much it cost and where they call it delivered. Of course, this is an app, so that wouldn't be the case. But yeah, I was really impressed with this. It's a cool app.
And I imagine they'll let you squelch out, you know, Google Play orders at some point too.
Yeah. Right on. Cool. That's great. Thank you. I had not heard of this before talking with you this morning about it. So that is Slice, and that is free in the Android, the Google Play market. There we go. Google Play Store. Man, that's going to be so hard to get used to. Okay, so mine apparently is the only app that you have to pay for. It's $1.99. It's called Smart Tools. And I bring it up because I've been kind of fascinated with this. This was a deal if you, when the whole Play market switchover happened, they had a lot of deals going on. One of the deals was for Smart Tools. And it... you know, so I think it was like 50 cents or something like that. And I picked it up as I usually do when those deals happen, just to look at them later and review, you know, see if I want to talk about them on the show. And this one has, it is what it says. It's a bunch of tools combined into one app. I know I've downloaded apps in the past that say that they have a bunch of tools and, you know, it's great to have them. And then I never actually end up using them. This one has them all combined into one, has really slick and cool looking UI, and it does a lot of really cool things into it. So I'm just going to show off a few of them, and I got to make sure that I have the ability to extend this cord out here. So hold on one second. So first of all, sound and vibration. So you can go ahead and hit this, and it's going to use your mic, and I don't know exactly how exact it's going to be as far as telling you how many decibels it's hearing right now. I have the phone pretty close to me, and it's registering, I'd say, an average of around 80 decibels. This is really handy to me, though, because I do a lot of music production, sound production at home. Sometimes I want to actually know this in my room if I'm trying to tune the room, and right now I'm going through a process of acoustically treating the studio room that I have at home, and stuff like this is actually very handy, and you can kind of open up these graphs to tell you exactly what it compares to. Right now, I'm about as loud as a busy street or an alarm clock. But of course, again, keep in mind that I'm really close to the phone, so that's probably affecting it. There's also a kind of a vibration detector, which I won't go into. There's a light, so it has the built-in kind of LED switch, which you can't really see it, but I'm turning it on and the LED is actually going on. Or you can switch it to screen. This is something that a million apps do, but it's nice to have it all in one specific app around tools. Now, some of the really cool stuff. Okay, so it's got a compass. The compass actually kind of shows you through the camera where you're facing. If I set it down, you get more that style of compass. And I think what really impresses me about this stuff is just the visual kind of depiction of all this stuff is really pleasing. I've seen a lot of these compass apps, and you know, they're okay, but I really like being able to look through the camera and be able to see exactly what I'm looking at if I happen to be measuring something. It also has what I didn't realize you could do with a phone, but it has a metal detector. So you can put it over different surfaces, and I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, right? And I don't know if I'd ever use a metal detector on my phone, but cool to have it. Distance is kind of interesting. So let's pull up distance here. Distance has a little bit of step-by-step tutorial to tell you how to use it, but I'm going to show you how you use it. So it has this little level at the bottom. Let's say I want to check out the distance of this pole right here up to the light. So I aim it at the ground. Make sure that crosshair is on the ground. It tells me that it's about 15 feet away, which I would guess is roughly about right from where I'm at. Maybe a little bit long, but I'm going to go ahead and hit the button to get distance. Now I pan up to the top, keep my hand in the same spot, and I hit that height button. And let's see here. Locate the top and hit the shutter. And it tells me that that thing right there is about 11.2 feet tall. And I would guess that that's about right. The ceiling's in here. I don't know.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. And I did a bunch of tests using this at home to try and see if I could get it to roughly, you know, because I didn't believe it at first that it could do that. And more or less, it was pretty right on most of the time that I did it within like a 0.5 feet. So that was just really cool. Then it has a bunch of tools for length and angle. And I can pull this up. This is the one that you're used to seeing. If you lay it down flat, you see the level. If you hold it upways, in portrait mode, you get the dot at the top so you can kind of find the level up there, right? But on this little menu on the side here, you get a bunch of different types of things that are really handy, like this ruler. So in the example, you could set a quarter on here, right? And just draw this out, and it'll tell you exactly how large whatever that is that you put on the phone. Your standard protractor, if you wanted to measure the angles. I just love this stuff. I don't know if I've had any use for this stuff most of the time, but it's still pretty cool to me. You have a protractor that kind of lets you know what is down all the time and lets you see through the camera. It just has a number of just a ton of stuff in here. And then I already showed you the distance one, which is, I think, one of my favorites. But this is Smart Tools. It's $1.99. I just think it's really well-developed app doing something that I feel like I've seen in a lot of other apps. But this one, I'm highly likely to keep installed on my phone and actually think to use next time I need to do some of these tools, just because it's really enjoyable to use. And I hope that it only gets better and better. That is Smart Tools, $1.99. Maybe it's $2.50. Some people are saying $2.50.
I was just going to say, not to nitpick, but it is $2.50.
Okay.
Because I just looked at it because I was going to install it.
All right. I thought it was $1.99. Sorry about that. I don't see the price anymore because I'm logged in.
If you scroll down on the left side, they've got the individual tools as free apps.
Oh, okay.
So you can download just the sound meter or just the measuring tape or just the compass.
Oh, yeah.
They're all there on the left side under more from this developer. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's great. So you could actually get a lot of these as separate apps, or you could download them all as one app, which is what I have.
There's a metal detector.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
I don't know how often I'd use a metal detector, but I guess it's kind of cool to have it. B-Tree's asking, does it do metric? I have to imagine that it does. You know, I did not. Let's see here. Let's dive into the settings real quick. It does Russian?
It does Russian.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. Man, it's not. Man, I have to imagine they allow you to convert to metric.
Well, does anybody actually use metric anymore? I'm kidding.
There we go. And emails.
There is the email.
Yeah. I'm not seeing it right now, but I did not check for that or spend much time in it. It should. And if it doesn't, then that's a serious knock on it, and they should build that in. That would be surprising that they wouldn't have that in there, but maybe it doesn't. So that is Smart Tools, and that is it for the arena. So we have the CW, we have Draw Something, Slice, and Smart Tools. You can vote for your favorite app this week covered in the arena if you go to bit.ly/AAA52poll. It's bit.ly/AAA52poll. And let us know, what was your favorite app this week? Eileen has not stopped drawing something.
I was stumped, and I don't know why I didn't understand her drawing of sneakers, but I got it. Thank you.
I'm going to make an early prediction that Smart Tools is going to knock Draw Something off.
Which would mean you all hate me. So that's fine.
Well, no, I think Smart Tools
honestly,
is
going to win. Honestly, 30 million downloads. That's all right. That's okay. You guys don't like it.
Yeah, but Draw Something is yesterday's news. They've already all downloaded it, right?
Okay, yeah,
right?
Whatever. But you're voting for the app that, you know... That's fine. I just know that you guys, that's fine. You guys, that's fine.
Well, we'll see. I guess we'll be following this all week. We're going to be glued to the monitors.
I think you guys don't want me to win because it's a popular app. You know how when something gets really popular, then you just vote it down because you're going to be haters about it? So that's fine.
But that said though, I really think Smart Tools brought it. I give you credit. That's a good UI, good, you know, interesting tools. I've never seen that before. Draw Something is just like, it's kind of the flavor of the week, but Smart Tools is actually innovative.
Ooh,
so
ooh,
there you go,
man.
I still voted for the CW though. So
right, I'd be careful because next week Eileen is going to bring it even more. So Ron, be careful.
It's fine. I can lose. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, that is it for this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for this week's episode of All About Android. Phil Nickenson, Android Central. Really appreciate you spending the time tonight to hang out with us.
Thanks for having me. Great.
Jose,
to be back.
Shake your hand.
Yeah. I think maybe in the wide we can make it work.
Okay. Oh, we almost had it there.
I know. Here. Okay. All right. Go ahead and pimp your stuff. You know, what do you have going on in Android Central? Are you working on anything in particular that you want to talk about? What's going on?
Well, you know, we got more reviews than we know what to do with. We're kind of it's weird because everybody changed the shows up over the past few years. So we've come off Mobile World Congress in Barcelona and we're waiting for CTIA, but that's not till May.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So it might be a bit of a lull for the manufacturers. We'll
Is that the one in San Diego, Phil?
It's going to be in San Diego in October. It's in New Orleans this May.
Oh, and last year, wasn't it in Florida? Is that where it was last year?
It was in Orlando last
March.
Okay.
Got it. I get confused. There's so many of these CTIA events, and then they're at CES as well and all of that stuff.
Yep.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. cool.
That's cool. So you have the awesome duty of going around to all of these places and checking out the hardware firsthand.
It is a rough job, but somebody's got to do it.
Exactly. And you have the Android Central podcast, which I love. One of these days, I would love for us to get Jerry on the show, Jerry Hildenbrand. He writes some really good stuff for Android Central. I always really appreciate his insight because he's got a very level head about the Android world, and I appreciate that. So we'll get in touch with him. But thank you so much for joining us. It's been awesome, as usual, having you on the show.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, Ron, go ahead and plug.
As usual, you can find me and all my fun world over at about.me/RonXO, and that's got links to all my social network stuff. And check out Graphly.com, which has got Android apps that let you read comics. And if you like comic books, check out iFanboy.com, the site I run every day, along with my other comic book compatriots. But everything about me is all about.me/RonXO.
All right, and Eileen.
Help me out here. What is this?
A last ditch.
What is this? It is Oh, jeez. P-O-R.
It's a portrait.
P-R-A-I.
Again, riveting television.
Yay! Do you play this? You don't play this, do you?
I literally just installed it. My sister, my brother.
Okay. Anyways. Yeah. All right. See you next week. I'm on Twitter at EileenTV after Ron plays some games.
All right.
You want to give it to me? I'll dish it back to you, mister.
I'm going to end this real quick. I'm Jason Howell on Twitter and about.me/Jason Howell. Check us out next week. We have Kevin Purdy on the show. He's going to be joining us once again. Excited to have him back. But that is it for this week. Leave the show a voicemail. Give us your thoughts. 347-SHOW-AAA. You can email us. Send us a video mail with the link to AAA at twit.tv. Find the show on Twitter. We're at Android Show. Show notes can always be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday night at 5 p.m. Pacific, right around there, at live.twit.tv. Thank you. No, seriously, thank you for joining us on this episode of All About Android. We will see you next week for another episode of All About Android. That's it. Now, you guys be nice to each other.
Oh, nothing but love.
Okay, good.